Okay, so we'll start with the little Dvar Torah. This is just something that I may have told you this Dvar Torah. It's just something that occurred to me, and I keep thinking about it because I think it's an important yisod. If I did tell it to you, you can stop me. I'll just go straight to Shir. But I was in Lakewood last week. This was before that. I was talking to somebody, to a friend of mine who's in Miami for a few weeks, and he said that he went to hear Rav Zweig speak. Did I tell you this? So he said he went to hear Rav Zweig speak, and Rav Zweig, you know who Rav Zweig is? So he's an Ilyusha Talmud Chacham, who's, they say, he's like one of the greatest Talmidim that Neri Yisrael ever produced. Rav Moshe Brown, Rav Tzvi Berkowitz, and, you know, Rav Zweig, like that parsha, that category of person. So he's an absolute Eloi. So this fellow told me that, this friend of mine told me that he went to hear Rav Zweig speak, and Rav Zweig said that when the Gemara says that the Talmid Rabbi Akiva died, Yikshlonogu Kavod Zebzeh, it means that they didn't push each other enough in learning. That's the pshat. That they didn't yell at each other enough in learning. They didn't motivate each other enough in learning. That's what it means. So I asked the obvious question: Mehechitesi? How does it mean that? So he said, I don't remember how he got there. I don't remember how he. So I started to think: is there a way to get there? Right? Is there a way that's what Lonogu Kavod Zebzeh means? So it occurred to me, I've heard from Rav Yonasan Sachs and from Rav Asher Weiss as well, the Mishnah at the very end of Sota Daf Mem Test. The Mishnah tells us, Mishameis so-and-so, but, you know, whatever particular Midah. And there's a Midah that appears twice on the list. Right? The Mishnah tells us that Mishameis Rabbi Gamliel Batla Kavod HaTorah, and then again it's Mishameis Rabbi Akiva Batla Kavod HaTorah. The Kavod HaTorah apparently died twice. It died with Rabbi Gamliel, and it died with Rabbi Akiva. And the obvious question is, Mimanoshech, if it already died once, it's gone. How does it get to die a second death? Right? So why is it? It seems like a stira. How could it be that the Kavod HaTorah was batel twice? And the answer that Rav Asher Weiss suggests, and I think maybe Rabbi Sachs quoted from Rav Asher Weiss, maybe he said it on his own, he was just mechavin, but the answer that they suggest is if you look carefully at the Rishonim, how they describe what it means, Batla Kavod HaTorah, what emerges is that there are Tzvei Dinim in Kavod HaTorah, that there are two totally separate issues that relate to Kavod HaTorah. Rabbi Gamliel, the Gemara Masechus Megillah tells us that Mimos Moshe Rabbeinu Ad Rabbi Gamliel, they used to always stand when they learned Torah, because Kavod HaTorah, you know, you have to express Kavod in this outward expression of honor to the Torah, so they would stand when they learned Torah. And yet, Rashi on the spot, when it says Mishameis Rabbi Akiva Batla Kavod HaTorah, so Rashi in Sota Mem Tes says this must be referring to the fact that Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara tells us, was able to darshan the crowns on tops of the letters of the Torah. And therefore, he was able to be mechabed the Torah in such a way by showing the meaning not only of every word, not only of every letter, but even the meaning of the crowns on tops of the letters of the Torah. So Mishameis Rabbi Akiva, Batla Kavod HaTorah. So Rav Asher explained that what you see is two dinim in Kavod HaTorah. That there's the Rabbi Gamliel kind of Kavod HaTorah, and there's the Rabbi Akiva kind of Kavod HaTorah. Rabbi Gamliel's kind of Kavod HaTorah is the Kavod HaTorah of outward expression of Kavod. You do Hagbar, something like that, so that shows Kavod to the Torah. Everyone points and bows or whatever they do. If you follow Shulchan Aruch, you bow. If you follow the Minhag, you point. But everyone pays attention to the Torah and shows that they're focused on the Torah, and that's a Kavod HaTorah. They open the Aron, everyone stands up. That's a Kavod HaTorah. That's a Rabbi Gamliel kind of Kavod HaTorah. But then there's a second kind of Kavod HaTorah, and the second kind of Kavod HaTorah is Rabbi Akiva Kavod HaTorah, which is to show Kavod of the Torah not by an outward expression of obvious Kavod, but by uncovering the depth of the Torah, by demonstrating how much is there, by demonstrating all that is latent within the words of the Torah and bringing it out into the world and allowing people to appreciate it and to see that it's not just the book and it's not just words. And just how many levels there are, you know, in the realm of Torah. And that's Rabbi Akiva's Kavod HaTorah, two different models of Kavod HaTorah. So I was thinking, maybe that's how Rav Zweig got to that point. Now what does it mean that Shalonagu Kavod HaTorah? These are Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Tamid Rabbi Akiva, the point is, Rabbi Akiva's Kavanat Torah is to try to uncover as much as he can, to try to really get as deep into it as you possibly can, to try to get ultimate clarity in what the Torah is saying, and to try to let the Torah speak, give the Torah a bigger microphone, let the Torah actually say everything that it has to say through our trying to figure it out. Well, what makes that happen in the context of a yeshiva? In the context of people learning together, the only way to get to the MS of Torah, the only way to get someone to really recognize their own chelek in Torah, their own os in Torah, their own ability to understand Torah, is when you have esvehiv besufa. You have what the Gemara Kiddushin describes, avu b'no, rabbi talmido. They're nasim oivim zelazeh. They're like enemies with each other. They're screaming at each other. They're fighting with each other. They're yelling at each other. And they're challenging each other. That's the point. They're challenging each other. They're not allowing the other one to get comfortable with their svara without it having to stand up to a challenge. And through that, the person grows. Through that, the person is able to become a Talmud Chacham. The person is able to get to a deeper point in his Talmud Torah. So maybe that's what Rabbi Yitzchak meant. Lo nagu kavod zeh bezeh. They didn't do the Rabbi Akiva kavod. And how did they not do the Rabbi Akiva kavod? By doing too much of the Rabbi Gamliel kavod. Oh, a Talmud Chacham said, so I don't want to, you know, a Talmud Chacham said, so you have to let it be. So it's a Talmud Chacham, you know, it's a lack of kavod for me to ask a question or for me to challenge. Maybe they had too much kavod for each other in the Rabbi Gamliel type of kavod, and that cost them on the Rabbi Akiva type of kavod. And that's where that's the lo nagu kavod, that they weren't noeg, not that they were not lo mechabdi adadi, that they weren't mechabed each other, they were mechabed each other too much. They weren't noeg kavod, they weren't noeg in such a way that's going to bring out kavod, that's going to bring out the ultimate kavod HaTorah, and really kavod of the other individual. Because a person only thrives when a person is challenged. In general, that's the greatness comes from great challenge. When people get too comfortable in a way of thinking, in a way of living, and don't challenge themselves, don't challenge themselves to want more, don't challenge themselves to achieve more, so then we don't know, we never discover what we're able to achieve. One of the great embarrassments I know personally in my life, and for many of us here in the United States, is that, you know, we know that Lachar Meyav Esrim Shana Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to tell us, you know, look, I gave you, like, I threw the aliyup, all you had to, you know, like, I gave it to you so easy. Eretz Yisrael's right there, it's open, it's thriving, there's opportunities there that there have never been in history since the days of Shlomo HaMelech. And what did you do? And we're gonna say, yeah, but, you know, I was born here in America, I got used to this way of living, and it was comfortable, and that's, you know, I went day in, day out, that's the way I lived, that's the way I went about my day. And if that's the answer, then there's a lack of kavod of oneself. In order for one to be to uncover the Rabbi Akiva kind of kavod, a person needs to move a little bit out of their comfort zone. You know, sometimes there's a certain element of bravery that it takes to be able to challenge themselves. There's a new book written by Adam Grant, who's a psychologist in Wharton, and he wrote some very good books. So he just wrote a book called Think Again. And the idea of the book, I didn't read it yet, I just read the introduction, so I know what it's going to speak about. The idea of the book is that sometimes we get into a certain mindset, and we get lazy in that mindset. Meaning we just think that, okay, or we don't think. We just get used to a certain way of being. And we don't allow our assumptions to be challenged. We don't allow ourselves to be challenged. And that ultimately is a lack of kavod. You know, it's a lack of kavod for ourselves. It's a lack of kavod HaTorah if we don't allow it to happen in learning. I think I've mentioned to you guys in the past that one of my pet peeves is that part of the success of YU Torah, I feel, is that we don't challenge speakers. So it's very easy to listen to YU Torah, because in our world, you know, someone's speaking, so you let him speak, you know, and I'm not going to interrupt him. What he's saying makes no sense, or I have a major kasha, or it seems to be against the version. I'm not going to tell him that, you know, like, let him speak. You have to have cover. But that's not Darka Shel Torah. Right, darkish. So it's much easier to listen to online, right? It's why you could listen on and without interruption, and it also weeds out, you know, the kinds of people that ask the questions that keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking, and sometimes maybe don't always have the most intelligent things to say. So it weeds that out. But it's really, I mean, that success, which is so wonderful, is really reflective of a chisaron, I think, within the way we learn Torah. We're very good at listening to lectures, but that's not really the way Torah is supposed to be experienced. You know, one of the paradigm changes as you guys go out and change communities, Be'ezras Hashem, here in Eretz Yisrael, wherever you are, is going to have to be that. I think that's one of our avodos. Is when you go to like a yeshiva shashir for balabatim. You know, I've been listening a lot to Rabbi Reisman's shiurim. He gives a shiur to balabatim on a Sunday morning. They're yelling at him the whole time. It's like annoying to listen to because it's great. That's the way Torah is supposed to be learned. They're just so some of them are smart questions. Some of them not such smart questions. But that's that experience of Talmud Torah, where we can learn with the Chavrusa and challenge each other, and that's the only way the fastest way, the best way to become great. You know, one of the one of the things that somehow I managed to accomplish in life is that in my professional life, at least, every room I walk into, pretty much every meeting I walk into, I'm the dumbest guy in the room. Which at first is a little bit scary. You know, we talk to a lot of guys in the Smicha program who have, what do they call it, imposter syndrome. Wait, is this really for me? Am I good enough? Am I good? You know, so like I suffer from that like greatly. So at first, like I was like really like, what am I doing here? Like, why am I in a Rosh Hashiva meeting? Like, you know, it doesn't, you know, and then you say, you know what? It's pretty good. It's pretty good if you're the dumbest guy in the room. That means you're challenging yourself. That means that there's something to aspire to, that you want to become great. Will you ever be? Maybe not. But you don't know what you can be until you challenge yourself. And it's important to be challenged. It's important to live that way. You know, I'm sure you've all had chavrusas who were who challenged you more than others. And the ones that challenge you the most are very often the ones that you remember, the ones that just listened to everything you said, and every svar you said was good. You know, those aren't the ones you remember. The chavrusas that you had, those all-out, royal rumbles or whatever, you know, those all-out battles that you had, those are the chavrusas that you remember. Those are the ones, you know, that were the ones that were a little smarter than you, or that were a little quicker than you, and you had to really be on your game in order to catch up. You know, those are the ones. You know, I'm gonna do a program this afternoon with one of my chavrusas with Rabbi Rosner Shlita. You know, it's amazing. It's a great thing, first of all, that you say, oh yeah, we were chavrusas for like, you know, 4 years or whatever, and everyone, oh, so you must be the same. That's right, we're exactly the same. You know, I'm just as smart as him. It doesn't work that way, obviously. He's so strong in learning and in everything about the learning. But that's why you remember it. That's what makes it great, because yeah, a person is challenged. So we have to be challenged on an intellectual level, and we should challenge all of our assumptions. I always take Yom HaTzmud as a time to sort of rethink and reassess. You know, even if the Yom HaTzmud is hard, because there's no like official tekes that's meaningful. Meaning, there's an official program, but there's no like mitzvah sayom. So the official program just feels empty. It feels just like a program. It doesn't feel like it's meaningful. So it's hard to relate to. So I think each of us have to relate to it. A religious Jew has to relate to it on our own level. And for me, one of the things that's helpful is it at least is a time of year where you could think about historically what we're living through and what we're seeing and how it's mamish unprecedented, and the godless of the Medina is something that, if you were to, leaving out all the politics and all the fighting back and forth, Tzioni, anti-Tzioni, this and that, and the Turkarta burning flags and Meir Sharim today or whatever, and the Medina protecting them and allowing them to do that, which is like crazy. But the you know, all of the back and forth and everything else, if you were to like, you know, land from outer space and, you know, or take a time machine, come from like any other tkufa in history and just see Eretz Yisrael, just see what's going on in Israel, see how the land is being built, see how everywhere you look there are cranes because they can't build fast enough. See how like you would say right away, no matter where you're coming from in history, wow, this is what the beginning of Geula looks like. Meaning that they're building for Geula. they're building up the land so that, you know, the hotels are going to need to be there because we're going to need places to be. We're going to need those roads and the infrastructure needs to be there. And the yeshivas and the Torah and the Talmidei Chachamim. You know, there's something called Rav Sacks used to in Eretz Yisrael, the Talmid Chacham. You know, what passes for a Talmud Chacham in America and what passes for a Talmud Chacham, it's like a different Madrega. I mean, Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud Chacham is the one that, like, knows the Prima Gadims like that. You know, that's, in American Talmud Chacham is, I think I heard there's a Shach somewhere that says something like that. And Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud Chacham is a Prima Gadim, right? You know, it's a different Madrega. And to see that, to be able to see how Torah has thrived, how the country has thrived, It came about with a lot of people challenging assumptions, with a lot of people going outside of their comfort zones, and I think ultimately we're going to have to answer for that. We're going to have to figure out, and reassess, and not that, again, I'll talk about this later, I guess, with Rabbi Razin, but it's not that everybody has to immediately pick up and make aliyah, and it doesn't mean that you're a bad person if you don't or whatever, but at least one has to constantly be asking that question. One has to constantly be thinking again and allow themselves to be challenged, because when we just get into that point, it's a lack of kavod atzmi, it's a lack of kavod for oneself if one doesn't allow themselves to be pushed a little bit and to think a little bit bigger, to think a little bit broader, to think from a more historical perspective. Okay.